Hello, everyone. My name is Jacob Emerson with Becker's Hospital Review. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast series. In today's healthcare environment, focusing on short-term gains is easy. Many health system leaders see this as the perfect opportunity to build a foundation for long-term success. There is a growing consensus that now is the time to reimagine, reinvent, and rebuild healthcare to better serve patients while ensuring a successful operational future. In today's conversation, we're joined by Dr. Teo Khoury, who is president of Vituity. Vituity is a physician-owned and led multi-specialty partnership that has raised the standard of care and transformed how, when, and where care is delivered for 50 years. Their 5,000 doctors and clinicians care for over 8 million patients a year across 9 acute care specialties at nearly 500 practice locations. So Dr. Khoury, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, with that, I want to dive right in and just ask you a little bit more about Vituity and how you view your role there.
Yeah, I'm president of Vituity. I've been with the partnership for a little over 20 years. When I say that number, it's a little frightening to me. My role is really managing day-to-day operations of the enterprise, ensuring that our strategic plan is implemented and managing finances across the enterprise as we grow in various locations and as we innovate into new services.
Fantastic. Like I said, we really appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. So what I wanted to ask you first off is a bit of a broad question, but something that we're always talking about here at Becker's, and that's what are the top trends across the healthcare spectrum for this year?
Well, I think there are three major trends that we're seeing for 2023. The first one, not such a positive trend, which is really related to the workforce challenges that we're all aware of. Coming out of the pandemic in 2021, there were more than 330,000 providers that left the workforce. And unfortunately, even more are positioned to retire in the next few years. And it's going to take a while to be able to backfill that large of a gap. You can't do that in a year or two. And so that's led to labor cost escalation. When you put that on top of the fact that we're experiencing an inflation that adds to labor costs even further. But the more important trend that we're seeing in 2023 is this labor gap has led to escalating burnout amongst the providers that have remained within healthcare. These individuals are not only picking up the shifts that are left behind, but on a day-to-day basis, as they're caring for patients, they're faced with increased challenges because of inefficiencies as a result of the staffing challenges. And this escalating burnout, the concern is just going to now escalate even further the exodus of providers from healthcare. So the trend we're seeing is really aggressively addressing burnout amongst providers. The second trend is a lot more positive, and it's really a rapid shift towards patient-centered care. One of the positive linings of the pandemic is that it really revealed some opportunities that we could take advantage of and should and need to take advantage of. Coming out of the pandemic, we really have recognized that we lost the confidence of our patients, and we lost the confidence of our patients for a variety of reasons. But one of which, because the pandemic really highlighted gaps of care and really highlighted that care has been built for the provider, not necessarily for the patient. And it was almost impossible for patients to reach out to their providers during that period of time. Another important reason for why we're seeing this trend towards patient-centered care is we've recognized over the last few years that addressing cost of care is really directly linked to the ability to create patient-centered care. A lot of our cost of care is attributable to the complexity of navigating through the current health system, a system that has been built really for the providers at the center and not the patient. The pandemic really forced us to shift during that period of time when they couldn't come to us, and it forced us to shift towards a patient-centric model, such as using telehealth. And at the time, we all recognized that the benefit wasn't just the tool or the technology, but more importantly, it was the concept of bringing care to the patient. And so as we experience this coming out of the pandemic, we recognize this need to really rapidly shift more and more towards patient-centric care to improve and really gain the confidence in patients, but also at the same time, an opportunity to address care gaps and decrease that cost of care. And the third trend is very closely related to the second trend, which is this trend of really addressing health inequity, which in addition to the previous point I made, the pandemic highlighted this as a significant problem, really a problem that many of us saw prior to the pandemic. But again, the pandemic really shined a very bright light on the care gaps and the inequity that we have within healthcare. And so it really underscored a longstanding health disparity in care access that now we recognize we really have a moral and a social, really a social imperative to ensure that all patients have access to quality care. But to do this, it really means that we need to move beyond the hospital walls. We need to move beyond the office walls to provide care to the patients, how they need it, and more importantly, how they can receive it so that we can address this health inequity. So those are the three major trends that I see taking place this year.
Fantastic. Well, I appreciate the details there, Dr. Corey. And just to recap for everybody listening, you mentioned workforce challenges, the shift toward patient-centric care, then of course, the increased boost in care access in an equitable manner as your top trends in healthcare for 2023. Now, on your second point, shifting towards more patient-centric care, you had mentioned that care nowadays for many patients is shifting out of the hospital towards the home, towards digital mediums. So can you talk to us a little bit more about how you view healthcare in this journey of moving towards more patient-centric and user-friendly care? Is it just moving out of the hospital, or are there other strategies?
Yeah, I think the solution is going to have to be a multitude of things. There isn't a one-size-fits-all, that's for certain. And I think we really have to start with reconsidering the how, the where, and the when of the patient's preference to receiving care, as opposed to basing it on the provider's preference for delivering care. So the onus really is on us to create these solutions from the patient's perspective, from the patient's eye. The system over the last 60, 70 years has really been built with one where we built brick and mortar hospitals and offices, and patients have to come to us on our terms when we're open, when we're available, through our modalities that we built to be more convenient for us. So we have to really first shift our thinking about the care solutions and take the patient's seat and from a patient's eye, if you will. We need to redesign the delivery system really to address their how, their when, and their where. And within Vitality, we call this concept health in place, really taking that perspective of delivering care based on the modality that they can receive as opposed to the one that we can deliver. And it's really how we base all of our decisions. Now, to really build a system from a patient's perspective, it can be very difficult for us as providers. And until we've personally experienced having to navigate through healthcare, it's very difficult to really redesign it. And you know, for me, the personal story is the experience I've had over the last several years in helping my mother navigate through the healthcare system. She's 76, really not that old. She's, you know, 76 is still considered fairly young, but has had some health issues and has had to see various specialists. And to navigate between the different specialists and understanding when to get what test done before she sees the next specialist, that's been extremely difficult for her. And honestly, even for myself as a healthcare professional, it's been a challenge sometimes to navigate through it. So you can easily see once you've experienced it yourself, how difficult it is to navigate our current system. So one example of an easy solution of how we can start moving models to be much more focused on the patient is care navigation programs. We in Vitality, actually, our frontline providers point out this is a real issue as they see their patients bouncing back to them in the ERs or the inpatient setting. And so we start to develop a virtual care navigation program. And we piloted this with a couple of our health system clients. And the results were astounding. Something as simple as a virtual navigation program, the outcomes were really remarkable. First, from a patient perspective, 100% of the patients that were involved in these pilot programs expressed satisfaction with the program. I've never seen a service to patients where 100% of the patients say they're satisfied with it. There's usually something they're not satisfied with. But equally important is the impact on the cost of care. Anywhere from 53 to 56% decrease in the ER visits for high utilizers, and that's 6 months post-navigation. That's astounding. I've never seen these kind of results. And then a 22% decrease in 90-day all-cause readmissions. So something that could be so beneficial to the patient, because we really took it from the patient's perspective and we walked them through the system, not only benefits them, but at the end of the day, also benefits healthcare as a whole as far as cost of care.
Really interesting to hear you talk about this, Dr. Corey. And you mentioned, you know, your own experience as a physician navigating the system and how often that can be difficult. So to go back to one of your earlier points, talking about the workforce challenges that most every system is dealing with nowadays, how do you think that health systems across the country can do a better job of supporting and retaining these clinicians who, as you just mentioned, like yourself, often have their own challenges navigating the system?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think really one that we need to address pretty rapidly. Going back to the earlier discussion on the workforce challenges and the impact on burnout, we really need to figure out pretty quickly how to address burnout because, as I mentioned earlier, we're at risk for losing even more. Just a quick survey, AMA survey, in 2021, actually, in 2020, their survey showed the burnout rate to be around 38%. A year later, in 2021, that skyrocketed to 63%. And by the way, that survey it completed at the end of January of 2022. So it's not that long ago. And we know 2022 wasn't any easier than 21. So I expect when they come out with the latest survey that we're going to see the same level burnout, hopefully hasn't gone higher. So we have to address this pretty quickly. Otherwise, we're going to continue to lose clinicians. Now, we know that for a fact that burnout escalates even faster when people feel that they don't have control in their fate, when they don't have input into matters that involve their day-to-day work. And this is not just for healthcare. This is for any individual. And so an easy and really low-lying fruit, what we can take advantage of is really addressing engagement of our providers. Engagement can help ameliorate that burnout rate. Start with the idea that clinicians are the faces of our hospitals, our nurses, the advanced providers, the physicians. They interact with our patients on a daily basis. They face the challenges on a daily basis. And because of that, they also have formulated some solutions within their minds. So engaging them to develop the solutions for the challenges they're faced with on a daily basis and engaging them to implement those solutions can help address the burnout and then retaining the providers within the workforce, engaging them throughout the process. And there's evidence of this, at least within Vituity, we have evidence of this. Vituity is built on the philosophy, on the culture that we have our providers are fully responsible for developing, addressing the challenges within their clinical environments. They develop the solutions, they implement them. As a result of this culture of engagement, we've always had very high engagement scores when we survey our providers and compare them to national averages within the same specialty. Well, interestingly, when we compare our providers' burnout to national averages, the difference is just astounding as well. We have our providers take the same survey that Medscape puts out there, And for Medscape in 2021, their burnout rate on the national average was 43%. For our providers within the same specialty, it was only 26%. And then in 2022, the Medscape burnout rate increased to 60%, very similar to the AMA survey. Ours was only 37%, huge difference between that 37 and 60%. And to me, that big difference is that engagement where the providers have input, they can create solutions. It benefits us in decreasing and really controlling the burnout rate, but also at the same time, you get great solutions to day-to-day challenges that our providers and our patients are faced with when they deliver care.
Sure. And you know, those are some really stark numbers there that you just mentioned, Tao. And so I have to ask you, that kind of naturally leads me to be curious from your perspective, as a physician that's been in this industry for a long time, I'm not suggesting that you're burnt out, but what in your personal experience has made you feel engaged with a health system or a provider? What's something that you personally have experienced that that has helped you feel supported on this issue?
Yeah, when I'm caring for patients, and this is going to be not anything that enlightening for those who, and it doesn't really matter whether you're in healthcare or in any industry. When you're at work and you're faced with challenges that you're seeing on a day-to-day basis, and you're seeing these same challenges take place over and over again, and I'm sure there's someone somewhere that's looking at those challenges and trying to fix the problem, but you're not aware of that. Well, for you as an individual, you just don't see any end to that. And as time passes, your frustration escalates and your satisfaction with your job decreases significantly. And this leads individuals to want to leave whatever job they're in. Again, this is not just specific to healthcare. And for me, I've been fortunate over the years where I've had individuals tap me on the shoulder and ask me to get involved. And I found early on in my career that when I did get involved, that it really helped me see that light at the end of the tunnel and gave me hope that things are changing or that at least someone's caring enough to involve me to participate in developing those solutions. And I really took away from that quite a bit years ago when I first had that experience. And as a result of that, made sure that as I progressed, that I would tap on the shoulder of others to help them get involved as well. I think that really is an important factor for us to address what we're currently experiencing in healthcare right now.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate you sharing that perspective of yours. And I think that's a really great point that many of the problems in healthcare today aren't necessarily healthcare specific, so they might require non-healthcare specific solutions. But the last thing I wanted to talk with you about, Tao, is your other point that you made when we first started talking today around care accessibility and making it more equitable, especially, of course, post-pandemic. When we talk to health systems daily, we know that this is a top priority for every system across the country. And so it's a priority, but you know, the statistics don't always match up with those priorities. So how do we make this a reality, care accessibility and equity?
Yeah, and I'm really happy to see that it has, and this is why I list it as one of the trends that I'm seeing it. It definitely is a priority for a lot of health systems and provider groups out there, especially coming out of the pandemic. I think we all recognize, just like with redesigning care to be much more patient-focused, much more patient-centric, this is not going to be an overnight fix, but we have to start somewhere. And I think it's real important that we all recognize that we have to first be willing to invest first in this, recognizing that the benefits of closing these care gaps may take some time to be realized by our patients, by our providers, by our health systems. So we really have to start with investing first. Second is you really have to know your patients. You really have to know your communities in order to develop the right services to address the current gaps. Our frontline clinicians often have a lot of insight, and we just mentioned this a little while ago about how do you address burnout, engage your providers. They have the solutions. Similarly here, they have insight into what their patients and their communities are experiencing, and what barriers to care they're facing. And so one quick, easy fix here is for us to make sure that we focus on bringing in providers that reflect and represent our communities, hiring from within. And this has actually been a challenge, especially in the last couple of years with the workforce challenge, where we have a lot of health systems having to hire locums, nursing, and physicians that are outside of their communities and bringing them in. But we have to invest first by hiring within, because by doing so, you get that cultural connection from our providers with their patients and with their communities. And they have an understanding what their patients are experiencing, and therefore engaging them in developing solutions and addressing those care gaps. Lastly, I think we have to recognize that addressing care inequity doesn't have a one-size-fits-all solution, and it's going to have to involve a multitude of channel delivery channels to really be able to address it. There are common factors across various communities, but the solutions may not be the same across those different communities. So we have to be willing to develop a multitude of delivery channels, such as mobile clinics, or using telehealth, virtual, online care, or at-home services. It all depends on our communities or our patients' capabilities. And going along with that, in particular with virtual care, I think we have to be very careful to consider the unintended consequences of some of these tools, such as virtual care. About 25% of Medicare beneficiaries don't have digital access at home, and that number is even higher for lower socioeconomic individuals. So this goes back to not one size fits all. We have to make sure that we address the specific needs within our communities.
Yeah, and that's a really great point to conclude us for today, that any solutions introduce, you should make sure that they don't then introduce issues that create more inequities. Dr. Corey, I want to thank you for your time, for your thought-provoking responses and insights today. We really appreciate it. We also want to thank our podcast sponsor, Vituity. You can tune into more podcasts from Becker's Healthcare by visiting our podcast page at beckerspodcasts.com.